able to tie Gatt. Look out here. Here he comes. There he goes. Brandon Banks is going to take this one to the house again. Unbelievable, this guy. Brandon Banks scores. Touchdown, Terrence Tolliver.
That was sick.
Don't go away, Matt Dunnigan.
That was sick right there. The timing of that throw, I mean, that was beautiful. That resembled Zach Collaros from last year.
Ray has a tip, and it's Simone Lawrence again! Exclamation point! Touchdown!
Welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Mike, we have a lot to talk about this week, but before we get to the meat of the show, we have a little bit of house cleaning to do here. For everyone out there that's interested, we've been on iTunes now for 3 seasons, but we are now going to be available on Google Play Music and Stitcher. I finally got off my duff and submitted both shows to those two platforms. So if you get your podcast through Stitcher, if you get them through Google Play, you now have another way to listen to us ramble on about football. And one other thing, we have an email address. You are free to email us some questions, hate mail, whatever it may be. And that email address is podskee, P-O-D-S-K-E-E, at gmail.com. So, Mike, there we go. Google Play, Stitcher, an email address. Just trying to grow the show, sir. Just trying to grow the show.
Oh, we're going to make it big time, I tell you what.
other bit of news. You may have seen over the last week or so, the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Mike, you and I are... This show is a founding member. We've kind of gotten together with the other fan-run podcasts. I won't list them all off simply because I'm going to forget someone and I'll feel horrible. But basically all the CFL podcasts that you know that are run by fans are pretty much a part of this group. We just kind of came together to collaborate on things, help each other out, just help us all get our name out there, grow our audiences, and just have a little fun, because at the end of the day, isn't that what podcasting about the Canadian Football League is all about, fun?
It is a ton of fun, and, you know, there's a lot of good fan podcasts out there, so people should check them out for sure.
It really seems like the fans of this league have taken the initiative to get into this realm. I know that there's, like, Drew Edwards, who I work with at Three Down Nation, he's got a couple podcasts, one about the Ticats, the Three Down Nation pod, which is league-oriented. The league itself has the Waggle. But for the most part, you got to think that the podcasts have really come from the fans, which is, I think, a good thing, because you get a lot of passionate opinions out there. And for each team now really to have their own show, you really get a nice mishmash of opinions, which I think is important for when talking about sports and talking about the CFL in particular.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was... fans were tired of not getting, a lot of talk in the sports media in their city. Now, it differs from each city. I know that Hamilton does a pretty good job on TSN radio, and 900 CHML, I'm sure, still covers the team. But in other bigger cities, it's kind of lacking. So I think that's why a lot of these podcasts started popping up.
So if you're a fan of our show and want to listen to some other podcasts from around the league, you can find the Canadian Football Podcast Network on Twitter at CF Pod Network. You'll get a link of the shows there that are up each week. It's just we're going to keep growing. There's probably going to be more news coming out in the coming weeks about things we're planning, things we're doing. But a new interesting adventure is upon us. And I hope everyone out there is going to enjoy it, and I hope everyone gets a chance to grow other audiences out there. I hope some fans of ours, some listeners of ours, will go give these shows a shot, because they're all really well produced. You're not going to agree with them because they're going to be fans of other teams, but they're really good shows. It's really fun, and I think this is just a great way to kind of grow the CFL fan community and grow the podcast community.
Mm-hmm. We're uniting as one.
Yeah, for sure. We're not against anybody. We're all in this together. It's going to be fun. Speaking of which, I will be doing a guest on the Piffles podcast this week. That's the Saskatchewan podcast. They asked me to come on, talk Ticats during their season preview. So listen to them this week, and you'll hear me talk some Ticats on there, and hopefully not make a fool of myself.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Can't guarantee that last one, right?
No, can't.
Lastly, before we head into the actual news, we put the call out last week, or last episode, that it was our final CFL video game ratings. We did the West receivers. We said, hey, is anyone out there wants to throw us some guys that we haven't rated and wants us to rate them on the show? We'd be happy to. We got zero responses to that request because I guess either the segment was a dud or they just don't give a crap what we think. Either way, absolutely no one sent us any requests, which I find absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I think it could be a combination of both of those things, Josh.
It could be. But we did get some ratings from Adam, who's been sending in his ratings every week. So wanted to give him his due because he sent them in, so I'm going to shout him out here. He's got a Darius Bowman at a 97, Vidal Hazelton at an 85, Brandon Zylstra at an 83, Marquay McDaniel at an 89, Tavares Daniels at a 93, Kamar Jordan at an 83, Weston Dressler at a 90, Darvin Adams at 88, Clarence Denmark at 88, Deron Carter at 95, Chad Owens at 87, Naaman Roosevelt at 94, Manny Arsenault 96, Chris Williams 95, Brian Burnham 92. So Adam, thank you for sending those in every time we asked. Greatly appreciated. And you are probably the only one out there listening to the show who actually enjoyed that segment because you're the only one who gave us ratings. So for that, I thank you as well. So we did it for an audience of three, essentially, ourselves and Adam.
Well, at least, you know, one person was listening and caring. If we can reach one person, Josh, we've done a good job.
Always ever positive, Mike. Usually that's my role. I'm the positive guy. You're the cynical curmudgeon.
Yeah, I'll do my heel turn.
Yeah, this would be a face turn. Face turn. You're a good guy now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll switch again. I'll switch again like Big Show every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. With that all out of the way, Mike, we have a football game to talk about. There was an actual football game, a Ticats game no less, that you and I are going to have to sit here and discuss. The Ticats opened the preseason last Thursday in Ottawa against the Red Blacks. They lost by 1 point. 30-29 in what was a fairly entertaining preseason contest. And in fact, the preseason games that I've had a chance to watch, this one and there was the Edmonton-Calgary game that was last night on Sunday night, was also pretty interesting. But let's focus on this Ticats game, Mike. We're going to start offensively. What did you see offensively that you liked, disliked? What are some of your opinions on this last game against Ottawa?
Well, the one person that really stood out to me was Kevin Elliott. It was like he was playing in a playoff game or something. It looked like he had something to prove. And to me, he proved it. He looks like he's in mid-season form. So I was really impressed with him. I also liked the limited reps that I saw from Golson, the backup quarterback in Hamilton. I thought he played pretty well. But other than that, it was like kind of not much to talk about, really. The offensive line, I like to keep an eye on that. But there was maybe two starters that were playing on the O-line that game, so I can't really judge on the backups. But, you know, at first I thought that it was a little bit like last year. The pocket was falling apart and Mazzoli was getting a lot of pressure, but I'm not going to worry about it too much because it's backups playing.
Yeah, I think we should focus a lot more on the offensive line in this upcoming game against Toronto that we'll talk about a little later. I, too, was kind of impressed by Golson. I thought he started a little shaky, but then I feel like he really found his rhythm, and unfortunately he got hurt and now looks like he's going to miss some time. I was actually really watching the quarterbacks because, you know, we have the number one in Caleros, we have the number two in Mazzoli, but that number three spot is wide open, and I think Golson, if he was healthy, I think that performance against Ottawa really kind of cemented him as number three. I was not impressed by Matt Johnson, who was just released today. He got hurt. Sounds like he'd be done for the year, so they let him go. But Cody Keith, fourth quarterback to come in. I actually thought he looked really good.
Yeah, I was impressed. He looked like he had a lot of confidence. He threw the ball pretty well. And there was also, forget his name, but he was one of the running backs. He was a bigger dude, but he impressed me.
Alex Green, he had that one massive run.
Yeah. I mean, not the fastest guy in the world, but he can run over some people if he has to.
Yeah, I also liked what I saw out of one of the rookies, the rookie running back from Montreal. I think Sean Thomas Erlington. He had a couple really nice runs. We can't take too much out of the preseason because Ottawa wasn't starting a ton of their starters, especially late in the game. Starters were out, but you know, when guys are out there making plays, and Kevin Elliott's a great example of that. He was out there, like you said, playing like it was a you know, the Grey Cup, essentially. He was
spinning the ball like he was the Grey Cup. Oh,
he was indeed.
I'd be perfect on him the whole season about that. It kind of bugs me. But if he makes the plays, then I can deal with it.
Exactly. And since he's making the plays for the good guys, you can deal with it. If he was still in double blue, it might piss you off a little bit more. Yeah, but he was going across the middle, making catches that veteran players don't have to make in the preseason. Like I don't think his job is really in jeopardy, but he went out there. I thought he played a whale of a game. I thought the offense as a whole was actually, they scored 29 points in a game, and you're in that 30-point area. That's a pretty good outing for an offense.
Yeah, especially an offense filled with second and third stringers. Now they're playing against second and third stringers as well, but anytime you put up close to 30 points, it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, and you know what? And the thing, it would have been, we'd be talking so much more glowingly about Keith. Do you remember, I think it was the second to last play. He had, I believe it was number 85, Devin Bro, which is going to be, if he makes the team, it's going to be difficult to not call him Delvin Bro every time we talk about him. He had him open down the middle, and he just overthrew him. If he would have caught that in stride, he's going all the way for a touchdown. But no, I don't think there's anything too worrisome, I guess I would say, out of the offense. I do agree with you. The offensive line didn't look great, but these are depth guys mostly. That does concern me about their offensive line depth a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to get a much better idea of what the offensive line is capable of when most of the starters play against Toronto.
Yeah, interested to see that right tackle spot, how they perform, whoever plays there. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching the offensive line a little bit more next game.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll be easy for me to give you some insight, too, because I can actually – it's hard to watch sort of line play and secondary play, which I think are the two areas you and I are both kind of focusing in on this preseason. When you're not at the stadium, because they – especially secondary play, they never show what the secondary is doing on camera unless the pass is going – you know what I mean? They're getting completed or whatever. But I think we're going to get a better idea of what this offensive line can do come Friday. Defensively, I think there isn't much to really write home about. Dominique Ellis looks like he's got the inside track to the Sam linebacker position. Again, I think I'm going to focus in on that a little more when I go to the game this week, just because, again, you can't really tell how he's playing on television. But there was one player that I want to single out for having what I thought was a great game, and that is defensive lineman Davin Coleman. This guy was all over the place against Ottawa. He had a ton of pressures on the quarterbacks. He had a pass knockdown that was nearly intercepted. He had a sack. I really like this kid. He's an interior lineman. Looks like the Ticats are probably going to go with two Canadians in that position, but you're going to be hard-pressed to keep this guy off the field. I thought he had a whale of a game.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought the secondary looked like a bag of poop in the first couple quarters, or the first couple drives by the Red Blacks. But not many starters playing, so you can't really look into that too much. But they drove down the field pretty easily against that secondary.
Yeah, I agree. I was very concerned about the secondary. Again, not a lot of starters, and they were going against, I think, 10 of the 12 guys on Ottawa's offense are their predicted starters. So it was Trevor Harrison there. He picked him apart. And I'm not sure if any one of the secondary – I don't think anyone in the secondary was a starter. I'm going to look at the depth chart just to make sure. But I'm fairly certain – The starters in the secondary, maybe one is going to be a starter.
Kinney wasn't there. Steven wasn't playing. Butler wasn't playing.
Kinney was gone. Davis was gone. Butler and Steven were gone. So maybe there was one, possibly two starters in the secondary. So, and all of them were first-year, essentially, CFL players. So, again, not much take there. I'm concerned about the depth in the secondary if this team does sustain some injuries there. I'm worried about what some of these guys can do, but getting lit up by a team's number one offense, which is a really darn good offense, it wasn't too surprising.
No, and it's funny. There's a lot of change to that receiving core on Ottawa, and I think they filled those positions pretty well. Now, you can't really judge it from a preseason game, but I think they still have a lot of talent in that receiving core, even though they lost, you know, a couple top-end players.
Yeah, I think what Ottawa has most is, and I don't know if they're going to be able to keep all three of them, but that three-headed backfield of Powell, Bell, and Madu, that could be pretty dangerous if they can find a way to use all those guys on the roster. It's going to be tough. You rarely see two American running backs make the team, let alone three. But that's going to be one hell of a decision for the staff in Ottawa to make, because I thought those guys all played well, and I like all three, and I think they're all great running backs. So could be a running back or two, a really talented one available for teams to scoop up come cutdown day.
Absolutely. Those guys could all be starters. So, yeah, they got a pretty good situation in Ottawa right now.
Yeah, it's that's pretty much all I want to talk about defensively. There wasn't, again, not a ton. Saw a lot of backups. There wasn't anything. They didn't really get any. I don't think they got any turnovers, so it's not a whole heck of a lot to talk about. But what I do want to talk about, I think what the big thing outside of the O-line and the secondary that we're going to talk about, and we've been talking about all offseason, is special teams and essentially the kicker battle. And after this game, the battle's still there. No one, neither Sergio Castillo or Ryan Hawkins, really separated themselves. Hawkins was released a couple days after the game, and the team signed Anthony Farah. Everyone hoping that Brett Maher would come back are going to be disappointed because he signed with Ottawa, which is weird because I thought Ottawa's kickers actually played really well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're bringing in Maher. Looks like he's probably going to be the guy going forward. That caused people to rip the Ticats. How could you lose out on him? I saw some comments that this is a huge blow to the team, which I thought is a gross overstatement, especially considering Maher was probably never in the plans for the team to begin with. Like, it sucks that he's not coming back, but let's not make him out to be the second coming of Paulus Baldiston or Justin Medlock. He was good last year, but he's not a guy you break the bank to bring back. But kick and battle rages on. Did you see anything in that game? Like, Castillo still remains. He missed an extra point, and in a one-point loss, that looms rather large. I don't know. I didn't really see anything that made me that confident that he could be the guy going forward, so I'm glad they brought in some competition for him.
Yeah, they got a bunch of mediocre players at that position. I mean, he missed the extra point, and then the guy got cut, I believe, kicked the ball out of bounds on a kickoff. So, you know, those mistakes can really cost you, and I'm a little bit worried, I'll be honest. I think that they don't think that it's that important. I don't think they do think that it's that important, because the last 2 years, they've just kind of been an open competition of players coming in that haven't been that great in the past. So we'll see. We'll see if they find a kicker that can do the job. They did it last year. They got lucky last year, but I think their luck might run out this year.
Well, I do know for a fact that they made a run at Swayze Waters when he expressed his interest in coming back, and they were simply outbid by BC. And that happens. You're not going to get every free agent you go after. And with this team's got a lot of big-ticket items. John Chick, Simone Lawrence, Zach Caleros, Abdul Kane, Emmanuel Davis, Luke Tasker, Terrence Tolliver, Ted Laurent. Like, that's a lot of salary in a few guys, but so you're going to have to skimp elsewhere, and unfortunately it seems like kicker's the one area where they've kind of skimped. They're trying to just hope to get by, and maybe one of these guys, hey, last year at this time we were sitting here talking about the kicker competition, and no one had any sort of respect's not the right word, but no one thought anything much of Brett Maher when he won the job, and he turned in a pretty decent season, so maybe, you know, lightning can strike twice. We'll have to wait and see. But I, too, am concerned with the kicking game going into the season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Tim Hortons Field. The wind's there, notoriously very finicky, very fickle, so let's see what these guys can do on the home turf, and who knows, maybe one of these guys, Farah or Castillo, will become that diamond in the rough, but I don't know. I'm concerned as we sit here today.
Well, Farah is just a punter, is he not?
I think he's done some field goal kicking, but I do think that he's more known for a punter. I'm going to look up his stats just to be certain, because I want us to be accurate, right?
Yeah. See, they could go with Castillo as a field goal kickoff guy and then Farah as the punter, but that seems – you'd rather have a guy doing both jobs, right?
Yes, absolutely. In his career, he was in BC in 2015. He was in Montreal in 2016. He's got 18 career field goal attempts. That's not great. That is not great. Wait, this. Correct. I'm incorrect. He has 24 career field goal attempts. He's 18 to 24, 75%. Had a long of 15, so, or 52, 15, Jesus. He had a long 15. Of 15. Long of 52, so. I don't know. He's shown that he's got a legs. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what he can do.
Yeah, that's the only thing we can do. We're not making the cuts or signing the players, so yeah. We'll just have to see what happens.
But I feel like the kicking position will be something we are talking about very frequently, just like we did last year.
Hopefully, surprising good talk.
Like last year was.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, Maher, I didn't have very high expectations for him, and he played pretty good. So we'll see.
We will indeed see. Unless there's something else you want to cover, I think we can move on to the weekly news.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, so some Ticats stuff to talk about. We already talked about what happened with the kicker, so we're not going to discuss that again. But the team did suffer a couple injuries in that preseason game, most notably a quarterback that we talked about. Everett Golson unfortunately went down. Looks like he's going to be out for a little bit. Matt Johnson was the third stringer in that game. He got hurt. He was since been released. So they brought in former Toronto Argonaut Logan Kilgore. What do you think about this signing?
I thought he was okay when I saw him play. I thought he was slightly above average quarterback. So I don't really know what to think, because he's going to be a third stringer at best. I like the signing, I guess, because he's a good depth guy.
That's pretty much it. There's no reason to get too excited or too down about this. They brought in a guy with CFL experience, and I think at this point in camp, if you're bringing a guy in because you need a third string quarterback, why not bring a guy in that's played in the league before? He showed something really good. He had that one start in Ottawa. I think it was his first start. Looked great in that. Got the Argos the win in Ottawa. After that, he did not perform very well. I believe he had 2 touchdowns and 10 interceptions on the season. So that's
yeah. And he was the guy that had like 5 interceptions in a game or something crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Yeah. But
right. You know, well, maybe Kent Austin's the guy that can kind of groom him and make him a better quarterback.
Well, and the thing was, he was playing on a really bad Argos team. So how much was on him and how much was on the talent around him?
Now, speaking of injuries, I don't think we ever talked about how the Ticats were approaching practices at training camp, you know, going hard for a couple of days and having a recovery day. I commend them greatly for doing this, because as we both know, the Ticats have had just an insane amount of injuries over the last 2 or 3 years, and anything they can do to try and fix that is great.
We haven't talked about that. It's funny. I had that written down as something to discuss because I kept forgetting to talk about it, and I figured, we're getting in the preseason. But I agree with you, dude. I think it shows really forward thinking by the brass here to be like, it's not just about beating these guys down and getting them into football shape and all that other. It's not about trying to be the toughest. It's about taking care of the players. Like, if you think about it, most of these guys are training year round anyway. Yes, most of them have other jobs, but for the most part, these guys are dedicating themselves to their craft. They're not coming into training camp vastly overweight or vastly out of shape. These guys are training year round. So why not give them? And it's not like they don't get a day off. It's they're doing other things. They're in meetings. They're doing like strength work and core work. Like, I think this is the wave of the future when it comes to football training, because the less hits these guys take in a practice means the more hits they can take during the games that matter. I think it's really smart of the team, and I wouldn't be surprised to see this adopted across the league and across all forms of football.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You look at the team, and we've had trouble with injuries. We had trouble last year in the secondary, and they've really tried to fix those problems, so I commend them for it.
And if you've noticed it, we haven't heard a ton about injuries in camp or in the preseason. I don't think this team has suffered very many major injuries. There's been guys who have been out with nicks, but that's going to happen regardless. But nothing of the like, you've lost another guy. Craig Butler was gone before training camp last year. And obviously we know about Zach Caleros, and Luke Tasker's been hurt. And CG, none of these guys, you're not hearing any. There's no talk about massive injuries. And I think that this new training camp regimen could have something to do with it.
You can control that. You can control how hard the practices are and the recovery days and all that stuff. You can't control in-game when a player gets his knee taken out. But what you can control, you should do, and just limit the injuries, because that's the Achilles heel of this team for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, this team's in a vastly different spot if their guys can stay healthy, right? And you know what? The players are buying into this. So if the players like it and the coaching staff thinks it's a good idea, how can you complain about it?
You can't. It's football has, you know, it used to be coming into training camp and beat these guys down until they can't walk. Well, football's changed, so the less injuries, the better.
Adapt or die is pretty much what it is, and these guys are adapting and doing something different. And hey, we'll see if it keeps everyone healthy and this team rolls to a Grey Cup. Hey, we're gonna look back and go, you're gonna see if that happens. If the Ticats stay healthy this year, and you don't see guys going down injury, you watch. You'll see a couple more teams adopting this method come next year.
Absolutely, and if they stay healthy, they will be a very, very good team.
I totally agree, which should shock no one. Speaking of things other teams should be adopting, we have official word that the Ticats will once again live stream their preseason home game, but unlike in the previous 2 years, there's a bit of a twist to this one. You have to be a member of the Ticats All Access program or whatever it is to watch. I am a member of it because I signed up for it a couple years ago because you had a chance. If you would have won something, you could have won tickets to every game, home and away, for a year. And I didn't end up winning, but c'est la vie. But it's free to sign up for, and I don't see why, if you want to watch a preseason game, you wouldn't spend 30 seconds signing up for a program that you really don't even have to care about if you don't really want to.
Yeah, I've had some problems with that All Access thing. I've been trying to watch the – well, this is a while ago, but the negotiation list videos, I couldn't watch them. It always said that – I forget exactly what it said, but I couldn't watch any of those videos, and it kind of bugged me. But I'll try and figure it out before the game on next weekend.
Well, I would be more than happy to hold your hand and lead you through signing up, Mike, if you need the help.
All right, that sounds good, buddy.
But there's something interesting about this. Now, I'm sure you've probably seen it. I wrote about it for Three Down Nation, about basically telling fans to shut up about complaining about the lack of preseason games on television. It has been something that has been annoying. It's one of these things, like that first preseason game a week ago, where I think it was BC and Calgary. I was like, it's the first preseason game, and TSN's not showing it. Epic fail, and just people bitching and moaning about the fact that preseason football was not on television. And no one was talking about the game that you could have listened to on the radio. No one was talking about it. They were just talking about how it wasn't on television. And it got my goat up, and I wrote a very scathing piece for Three Down, kind of ripping into fans, saying, just stop complaining about this. It's not a big deal. Was not very well received, which should be a shock to no one. When you tell people to stop complaining, they tend to not be very, very willing to do that. But the Ticats, in their announcement of this live stream, gave out numbers for last year's live stream, which wasn't attached to this All Access program. If you wanted to watch the live stream of the preseason game last year, all you had to do was log on to Ticats.ca and you could find it. They're not 15,000 people. That's what they said, 15,000 unique views. Watch some part of last year's stream. And I know that obviously a live stream of a preseason game on a team's official website is probably not going to attract a vast majority of the CFL fan audience. But if that 15,000 is even one tenth of who was interested in watching this game, that's still a pretty low number if you times that by 10. 150,000 people want to watch preseason football. That's not very many. And one of my main reasons for telling fans to shut up about preseason games is that it costs TSN money to broadcast these things. If they were only getting 150,000 fans, that's not enough to be willing to set up and put the money into airing these preseason games.
That's true. They do it for MLS though, and they probably get less ratings.
Well, yeah, less than 15,000.
Oh, I thought we were talking about like
150,000. Yeah, probably. But again, MLS gives them money, or vice versa, to broadcast games, and they probably have other revenue streams. Are people really going to watch that? I just look at this number, and I think it vindicates where I'm coming from. And here's the thing, too. Everyone was hammering TSN for not showing the preseason games. How come no one was hammering the individual teams? Hey, if the Ticats can do this, why can't the Lions and the Stamps and every – you know what I mean? If Hamilton has been able now to do this for 3 years running, it's one thing when they did it the first time. It was like, oh, this is an interesting innovation. And the Ticats have always kind of been at the forefront of sort of technological innovation. We're 3 years into this now. None of these teams have come to them and said, like, hey, how do you do this? How do you make it work? That's insane to me. If you really want to complain about anyone not showing the games, complain about the individual teams not streaming them. Don't complain to TSN.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we were talking about before we started recording, I would watch any preseason game that was on. Actually, I didn't watch the one last night because I fell asleep, but that's a different story. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to cry about it because preseason football just isn't that great. It's not that entertaining to watch. I'm sorry. And I'm the biggest CFL fan you'll ever come across, or one of them. And I just simply don't care to watch preseason. Like I said, if it was on, I'd watch it. If it's not, I'd find something else to do and just wait till the regular season starts.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm with this. I did watch the Edmonton-Calgary game because it was on, and the only thing on was hockey, and I haven't watched a hockey game in forever. So, yeah, it's on. I'll watch it. And it was entertaining, and there was some fun stuff, but it's still preseason ball, and I would think that most of these games are of interest to the teams, fans themselves, not to league fans as a whole. And I'm not – and that's a generalization, of course, because there are obviously fans of all teams. I was one. I watched a Calgary-Edmonton preseason game. I'm not a fan of either team, but I think I'm in the minority there. And the thing about, like, complaining about preseason football is just this is kind of a criticism of CFL fandom in general, but have you found that like there seems to be no end to CFL fans complaining? And I do include you and I in this. We complain a fair bit about things that we don't like, but have you noticed that it's just no matter what time of year it is, there's always something that CFL fans are complaining about, whether it's when's the schedule coming out, or now that the schedule's out, why did my team get screwed, or when are we going to change the logo back because the new one sucks, or why isn't there a 10th team, and where's our video game, and why doesn't the season start sooner, and put all the preseason games on TV, and then the season starts, and it's, oh, the league hates my team, and the refs hate my team, and they're screwing them, and then we get to November, and it's playoff time, when everyone should be excited, and it's, why aren't the playoff games on CTV, why isn't the Grey Cup on CTV? And then we get to the end of the season, and it's like, well, why isn't the new season starting already? It's like, no matter what time of year you watch, you follow this league, someone's complaining about something. It's like, can we give it a rest? Can we not just enjoy what's in front of us? I'm not saying there's not things to complain about. I'm not saying that we shouldn't complain to try to get things better. But when it's constant complaints about one thing after another, it starts to come off like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, and a lot of those things, there are reasons that they're not happening, like the 10th team. There's no stadium, you know, and I assume the 10th team would be on the East Coast or in Quebec City. In Quebec City, they don't give a shit. They want hockey back. They don't care about the CFL. They have the Rouge et Or, too. On the East Coast or in Halifax or Moncton or wherever, there's no stadium. There's no owner. There's no nothing. So to complain about that is kind of silly because there's no solution to those problems at this moment. So, yeah, sorry?
I was going to say, well, complaining about – why isn't the schedule out? The schedule comes out within the same 2 weeks every freaking year. It's between the beginning and the middle of February. It's like it's between, say, like the 7th and the 20th that the schedule comes out. It's the same time every year. Why am I getting in December and January? Am I seeing tweets and comments about why isn't the schedule released? When's the schedule being released? It's the same friggin' time every year. Stop talking about it. You know when it's coming out. Leave it alone.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not like the schedule is different, like largely different each year because there's only 9 teams. It's not like in the NFL where, oh, we're playing this team this year. No, we're playing that team this year. We play that team every year. You know what I mean? So I get that people want to plan their booking off work and for certain games and all that stuff, but, you know, take it easy a bit.
Yeah, it's just, there's constant complaints. So when you add in, why aren't you showing the preseason game to it? It just feels like white noise. It's like, oh, this is
I think we're lucky that they show any preseason games.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh. I totally agree with you. They've only been showing preseason games for maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Like, this is a new development. And the fact that they do show any, I think, shows that there's somewhat of an audience there, but not enough to really come. And look, TSN shows this year will show 90 of a possible 95 CFL games. Would you be like they're showing the entire regular season and the entire playoffs, and you're sitting here bitching about 5 preseason games? Move on. Find something else to complain about. Like, put your energy into something else. This is not worth fighting over.
Yeah, and get a, you know, if you're in the city where an exhibition game's going on, then pay your money and go get a ticket and go out and see it.
Well, I said this in the piece I wrote for 3Down. If you really want TSN to know that you want more of these, watch the crap out of the games that they do broadcast. If those start getting 500, 600, 700,000 viewers, you bet your damn bottom dollar that TSN will start showing more preseason games. But until that happens, if they're getting between 200,000 and 300,000, they're probably happy with the amount they're showing because that's the audience that they can get. Or even worse, if they're getting less than that, then we should be thankful that they're giving us anything at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, if it's on, I'll watch it. If it's not, I don't care.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something a little more positive, something that's in your neck of the woods. CFL news-wise, we're done with the Ticat stuff. We have a 2018 Grey Cup host city, and Mike, it is the beautiful city of Edmonton. So get that couch ready because I'm going to be crashing November 2018.
I got a blowout mattress, so you can sleep on that. I'll do you one better.
Oh, see, I thought you would sleep on the blowout mattress, and I would just sleep in your bed.
Oh, okay. That works too. I'll just sleep on the floor in the corner under a blanket.
Okay. Well, we'll get the doggy bed out for you and you can sleep on that.
Yeah.
So this is probably the first time that you've been in the host city for a Grey Cup since, what, 96? You got to be pretty excited.
I am pretty excited. I was pretty pumped when I heard the news. You know, it's cost a lot of money to travel to go to a Grey Cup. You know, the airlines jack up the prices of tickets, and the hotels jack up the prices of hotels. So I was very excited to know that I could be in my own home in a Grey Cup city. So I'm pretty pumped about the whole thing.
Yeah, problem is you're going to be hosting a lot of people because you're probably going to get a lot of requests for, hey, man, can I spend a night?
Exactly. That's okay. As you know, CFL fans are our family.
Oh, look at that. Oh, how nice of you. Most of them. True. And you know what? Sometimes they may be family, but you don't have to like them.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's pretty cool. I think this paves the way, though, to get back to Hamilton, because we are a Hamilton podcast. I think this paves the way for 2019 to be in Hamilton. I think if they can get all the litigation settled, I don't see any reason why the Grey Cup after next should not be here. There's no reason. When Ottawa got theirs for 2017, made all the sense in the world. Edmonton getting it, they were the one team where I was like, well, if Edmonton gets it over Hamilton, I can't be that mad. They've waited a while to get it. They're the big stadium. You're gonna get a big crowd. That'll be good for the league. Good revenue for that city. Good revenue for the league. But after that, I think if Hamilton's not at the top of the queue, if they can't get their stuff together, then totally understandable. But if all their ducks are in a row, I can't see Grey Cup 2019 not being here in the Steel City.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's just ridiculous that this stadium thing is still going on, but that's another story.
Dude, the city of Hamilton, don't even get me started on they could ruin an orgy with supermodels and the most beautiful actresses in the world. That's what the city of Hamilton's city council is.
I don't have a lot of knowledge, but I've heard from other people that it's a mess. But yeah, I'm excited about the Edmonton one because you look at I saw the released price points on tickets, and it's very reasonable. So that's, after the debacle last year, that's a really nice thing to see. You know, affordable tickets to the Grey Cup.
Yeah, and look, I know a lot of people jumped on Toronto look at Edmonton's prices. Let's be fair.
That's different.
It is different. Edmonton, Commonwealth holds, what, 60-some-odd thousand people?
Well, they removed a lot of seats when they put in the new seats, so it's like 57,000, okay, but so still.
57,000 compared to what was it, like 35,000? For BMO. Yeah, that's not saying that the seats in Toronto weren't horribly overpriced. They were. But you can get away with cheaper tickets in a stadium where you're selling 20-something thousand more seats. You basically can fit the entire stadium of BMO and then Tim Hortons Field inside Commonwealth. And when you do that, you can have cheaper tickets. And also, when you have tickets that are that high up and that far away from the field, you have to offer them at cheaper prices. But still, kudos to Edmonton for having some great price points. But let's not jump all over Toronto and their Grey Cup pricing in comparison, because it's apples to oranges. You can't – again, Toronto was still way off in their prices, but you can't throw this all in their face. They had to do a way to make money. And don't get me wrong. I think when the Grey Cup is in Hamilton, I think you're going to see – you're not going to see Edmonton prices. People think they're going to get $100 seats. I think they might be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, it's going to be higher for sure. And I think that's going to be the norm going forward, because we don't have those big stadiums anymore, right? I mean, Commonwealth is left. I guess BC is big.
BC is pretty big, but the Dome is off the table now, so.
Yeah, and
the big, you know, the big O, can they have one there? Who knows?
Yeah, so I think that it's going to be an expensive ticket going forward most of the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But it should be. It's a championship game. It should be an expensive ticket, but it shouldn't be. You shouldn't overprice the tickets to not be. The normal fans can't get in, you know?
Yeah, Toronto's prices were definitely too much. I wholly agree with that. But people out there going, look, Toronto, look at Toronto, look at Edmonton. This is how you do it. Easier said than done, everybody. Easier said than done.
Totally different situation.
Speaking of Toronto, we're going to turn to the Argos podcast like we do seemingly every week for a little bit. Some linebacker news out of Toronto. They finally signed Bear Woods, which I know you were shocked when that happened, right? Just completely stunned.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, never saw that coming. But it did come on the heels of something that was kind of stunning, and that was the retirement of Winston Venable, who I thought was one of their best offseason pickups, but he's no longer there, but they bring in Bear Woods, so lose one former Owls linebacker, bring in another. What do you think the loss of Venable is made up for with the acquisition of Woods? Do you think this is a net win for the Argos? Or obviously it would have been better if they both would have been there, but what do you think? Obviously, I think I like the signing of Woods. He's a good linebacker, but I think losing Venable is going to hurt them a little bit.
It does hurt, but I'm not sure if they'd be able to bring in Bear Woods if they still had Venable. I don't have knowledge of their salaries and what their salary cap situation is, but losing Venable hurts. But I think Bear Woods is one hell of a player, and I think they'll do all right in the linebacker core this year.
Yeah, that's a ton of ex-Alouettes in that Montreal team, which I think should shock absolutely no one, seeing as who the brain trust is there now.
Yeah, they're bringing in players that they're comfortable with. You know, SJ Green, Bear Woods, Winston Venable before he retired. There is a lot of Alouettes, former Alouettes on that Argonauts team, and you know that could be a good thing for them.
Yeah, it's odd after all the debacle of the Jim Barker Milanovic firing and resigning and waiting so long to bring in Pop and Tressman. If those guys can kind of get this turned around right away, if they can kind of focus this, and I don't think I have no doubt that at some point I think the Argos under their leadership will become a pretty darn good football team. Not sure if it'll be the early parts of the season, but this is a team to me in Toronto that even if they struggle early, I would be very afraid to play them late in the season. I think they're going to find their footing, and I think they, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to play spoiler for a couple of teams that could.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I believe that players enjoy playing for Mark Trestman. He's a well-respected guy, and I think that it might take some time, like you said, but eventually this team is going to be, you know, near the top of the Eastern Division.
Yeah, next week, dude, we got to do our predictions for the season. We got to do our season end.
Right.
I'm looking at the East Division right now, and I have no idea. I have no idea. To give a little tease, I'll probably pick the Ticats to finish first, just because when in doubt, go the homer pick, but I could honestly see any of these four teams in the East finishing in first or representing the East in the Grey Cup. I really could. And that includes Toronto. And I didn't think I would say that 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's really hard to get it. Like, a team can have all the talent in the world, but until you see them playing on the field, you don't know what to expect. So predictions are hard in any league. And you'd think that predictions in a 9-team league would be easier compared to a 32 or a 30-team league, but they're not. Every year, it seems that it's very difficult to try and pick who's going to be good and who's going to be bad in the CFL. Now, there's those one, two, maybe three teams that you know are going to be good, but you think they could be good and they could be terrible. So it's just really tough year to year.
Hey, a year ago, if someone said, hey, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to win 11 games, they probably would have been laughed at. In fact, I think there was a guy on this show who said they had some faith in Winnipeg. Who was that again? Was that you?
I think that was me.
See? So... And I've thought you were crazy, but at the end of the season, 11-7, and they finished third in the West. So
no, I predicted that with Drew Willey as quarterback. I didn't predict that Nichols would come in, but I'll still take it.
Hey, you don't have to admit. You don't have to say that. Just take your kudos, man.
All right, cut
don't
that
worry.
In.
I'll edit that out.
Yeah, good.
I'm not going to edit that out.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Okay, next bit of news. The CFL unveiled a new fantasy game that really wasn't new at all. It's just a combination of the TSN game that we've been playing for the last few years and DraftKings. It's still the weekly fantasy. It's still the pick certain players with a salary cap. And while I commend the league for getting involved and branding it as a CFL fantasy game, until they do what we get, ESPN, NFL Network, all that stuff with a head-to-head yearly fantasy league with drafts and stuff like that, I think that this is just I don't think it's enough. I think that's the game that fans want to play. How many years have we been doing fantasy? 3 years now. We did fantasy with a bunch of the other podcasts last year, sitting around drafting, chirping each other, talking crap, playing head to head, drafting individual players so that you have them alone. That to me is where the fun in fantasy comes from. It's not just picking players and hope like that. It's fun, but it's not the same. And I think that this is just, it's kind of a letdown.
It is. I really enjoyed the fantasy format. I played both, but I enjoyed the, you know, the head-to-head version better. And yeah, they should adopt that model. I mean, why not? It can't be that hard. I mean, the guys that run I don't know them personally or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure they're just dudes that made the website and did it themselves. So if they can do it, then why the hell can't the CFL or TSN do it?
Well, it's the same thing, and this is getting a little off topic, with the Canadian football video game that's coming out. I like the fact that there's a Canadian football game coming out, but if you look at it, it's very bare bones. It's not in 2017. a video game. And I commend the guys at Canuck Play for making it, and I hope they're successful. But I look at it as this would be a demo of what a game should be. And I, like, as much as I want to support it, I don't know if I can plunk down hard-earned money on something that's like that. And it's kind of the same with this fans. It's like, it's a half measure. And if the CFL wants a video game, or there wants to be a Canadian football video game, or if CFL wants to get involved in fantasy, don't do it halfway, man. You got to come in and give the fans what they want. And if you were to ask anyone who plays fantasy sports, what they want is head-to-head exclusive drafts. They do not want this, oh, well, I have one guy different than you, and he outpointed your guy, so I won. Nope, that's not what fantasy is about. Fantasy is about picking your guys, having a draft, having a laugh, chirping each other during the year. Like, how can I – say me and you do this, and I am signed up for it, and I will play. But what happens if you and I do it, and 1 week we have all the same players? We come back, and, well, we had the same – like, that's not fun. It's more fun to – like, when we played fantasy, and you and I would play, and we'd come on here and be like, I beat you this week, or you beat – like, that was – that's the fun in it. It's that chirping, and that – like, until the CFL can figure out a way to get that going and to get – like, I think this is just a half measure, and I don't think it's going to be – I think it'll be successful because the CFL is behind it, but it's not what fantasy players want.
I love doing the draft. That was like one of the funnest things about it, you know, getting together and picking your players. So yeah, it's I guess you could say it's like a draft each week, but it's just not the same thing.
It's not the same thing because it's yeah, you're picking guys each week, but you're not in the league, you're not playing head to head, and like I said, you can have someone that you're friends with that you're competing against. They could pick the exact same team as you, and where's the fun in that?
I wish that that site was running again. I don't know for sure that it's not, but it's getting pretty close to the season, so.
Yeah, it would be a shame if we lost Fantasy, because I think they did a great job, and if we do, hopefully someone will pick up the slack.
CFL or TSN should buy it from them.
Actually, if you want to read a really good article, I hate to plug Three Down Nation. Well, I don't hate to plug it, but I will anyway. John Hodge, Blue Bomber Talk, wrote an excellent article where he talked to some fantasy people, the guys that do the Onside CFL Fantasy Guide and the podcast, and talk to them. And there's some really interesting stuff in that article that go to 3 Down Nation, find it. It's a great article, really well done. John did a great job, and it'll give you some insight into some of the stuff that went behind the scenes and around this new fantasy game that little bit of strong arming, if you will, by the CFL that doesn't make them look all that great. But I suggest you go read the article, because it's really well done, and it'll give you kind of a new look on maybe what the CFL was planning on doing and what they actually did and why.
Yeah, I read that article too. It's a good one.
So last bit of CFL news before we go preview the Argos Ticats preseason game. Just got to talk about Vince Young, tore his hamstring, out 4 to 6 weeks. Only reason we're talking about this, he was the big story of the offseason. Is this the end for him?
It all depends on what Chris Jones is thinking. Is he thinking that, he wants to hold on to this guy and see what he has in an actual game? I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what his motive was bringing him in. I'm sure it was that maybe this guy still has something left in the tank and we can get something out of him. But I'd have to assume that this is the end of it. I've heard that he didn't perform that well in training camp. He didn't show, you know, flashes of brilliance that he had when he was a younger man. So you got to think that he's gone.
Yeah, Chris Jones really, really wants him around. Teams can cut rookie players when they get hurt in the preseason and not owe them their salary. They would have to pay their medical bills while they rehab the injury, but they don't owe them their salary. And unless Chris Jones really, really wants this guy here, I don't see any reason why they would keep him around, because he's 35 years old. He, like you said, he did not look good in training camp. I thought Brandon Bridge, from all reports, really played well in the preseason game. Kevin Glenn is going to be the starter there. They need a quarterback that's young. They don't need a quarterback named Young who's old. That was a terrible, terrible pun on my part. God, I wish I could take that back. But hey, if we're not going to edit out your faux pas, we're not editing out mine either. But you know what I mean? Like, you don't need a Kevin Glenn's 37 and Vince Young's 35. They're basically the same age. They need to go young. Their younger guys have shown well, especially Brandon Bridge. I just think the Vince Young era in Saskatchewan's pretty much over before it started.
It's a funny situation. They let go Darian Durant, assumably partially because of his age, and then they bring in these guys that are 37 and 35. It just they could they could really mess. This could be a disastrous season for the Rough Riders if it doesn't work out with the quarterbacks. Because Kevin Glenn, yes, I'm a fan of Kevin Glenn. I think has been a really good quarterback over the years, but the guy's getting up there and he's had injury problems as well. And it just could be a really bad scene in Saskatchewan if Glenn goes down.
They let go of Durant, didn't bring him back because they wanted to get younger at quarterback, and then they got older at quarterback.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me at all.
It doesn't.
A lot of the stuff that Jones has done hasn't made sense to me, though.
I couldn't agree with you more if I wanted to, but I do. We'll see. It could be a rough year in Saskatchewan, or hell, they could surprise everybody. Because let's not get it twisted. They do have some talent on that roster that they did not have last year. But if the quarterback situation is a mess, it doesn't really matter what else you got.
Exactly. They have a lot of great receivers. But if there's no one to pass them the ball, then they're pretty useless.
For sure. All right, Mike. First time in 2017, you and I are going to preview a football game. We're not going to do this the standard way we've done it in years past, simply because it's a preseason game. But Ticats play the Argos on Friday here at Tim Hortons Field. It's the team's final preseason game before these two teams lock up. A little over a week afterwards in Toronto to open the season. So instead of going offense, defense, special teams, stuff like that, what's a couple of things, maybe one on offense, one on defense? And I think our special teams are both the same. We're going to watch the kicker, so we don't really need to go into that if you don't want to. What are some of the things you might be looking at in this game that hopefully you're going to be able to watch live on Ticats.ca?
Well, I'm looking at that right tackle position. It's the question mark on the offensive line since Mr. Olsen has retired. That's a big question mark to me. I'm looking at that on the offense. I'm looking at how Zach performs. He obviously, we think that when healthy, he is the best quarterback in the league, and I'm not ashamed to say that. That's what I truly believe. I'm not being a, I am being a homer, but that's what I believe. If he was on another team, I'd say that as well. So I'm looking at if there's any rust on him. He's coming back. He wasn't injured in the offseason. So those are the two things on offense that I'm really focusing on this next game.
I'm really curious to see how the offense, the starters perform just in general. I want to see who's out there with the number ones. I want to see if Caleros is out there because he's finally had a regular offseason that he didn't have last year. He's been at every practice, taking all the reps. I want to see what this offense looks like. Because if you remember a couple seasons ago, they went into Winnipeg and he absolutely shredded the Bombers. And they look like $1 million. And we all know how the Ticats got off to the roaring start. I think they were 8-3 when Caleros got hurt. So I want to see this team operating on all cylinders. I want to see who the starting five out there are at the receiver position. I just want to see them click. I want to see this, okay, even if they're only out there for a little bit, I think they'll probably be out there for a little more than a quarter, maybe even a full half. I just want to see them clicking like they did a couple of years ago with some new guys in there, but some old guys as well. That's what I really want to see on offense. I want to see the offense just be that fine-tuned machine that we came to expect and maybe even took a little bit for granted a couple seasons ago. And much like you, I'm also watching the offensive line. I want to see how they gel as a unit. I think 4/5 of that line is pretty solid, but that right tackle position still is a question mark. So let's see what they do out there. I really want to see this offense get off the field healthy, all their starters get out there and score a few points out there, and I think it'll be a job well done.
I'd like to see them perform the way Ottawa's first stringers performed against our secondary in the first preseason game. That's, I want to see them march down the field effortlessly. I'd like to see that.
I think that is a great benchmark to hold this offense to. Go out there, get a couple good drives, get a touchdown or two, maybe a field goal. Make it look like you're out there controlling the pace of the game. I think you nailed it there, Mike. What about defensively? Is there anything you're looking at defensively? Is it the secondary? Let's just say it's the secondary.
Yeah, it's the obvious. It's the secondary. We all know that was a big problem last year, like we've talked about endlessly on this podcast. And I want to see big-time improvements. I want to see the defense do what we want the offense to do. I want to see them shut the Argos down big time.
I always want to see that happen, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to be... Secondary, yes, but since you talked about the secondary, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to be watching that Sam linebacker position. I want to see how Dominique Ellis does against some of those. You got to cover when you're at that Sam position, and the Argos do have some pretty decent receivers. So I'm curious to see what he does against some of those guys, and I'm curious to see what some of the depth of that position is. Who are we going to see? Is it going to be a guy like Will Hill, who started at safety for the Ticats against Ottawa? Is it going to be? I think I think his name's Cheatham Norrells, I think is his name. He was listed as the backup at Sam. Let's see if he's going to go out there, what he does with his time on the field. I'm really focusing in on that position simply because it's been such a question mark for the team the last year and a bit, ever since Eric Harris left to go play for the New Orleans Saints. Bit of a no man's land last year. So with Ellis, who was a guy I thought could play the position, kind of getting the start. And then I want to see what the backups do, because I want to see this team have options at that position in guys, even if they're rookies, that that can make plays out there, because that's a pretty interesting position in the Canadian Football League. And I think it's an important one.
Yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on that as well, for sure. And there's a lot of talent on the defensive line. I want to see how the, you know, Atkinson does in the middle there, because he's been a good player for years now, but he's never been the full-time starter. So let's see what he can do beside Laurent.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that we're going to look for. Those, I think we just wanted to touch on the major things that Mike and I are going to focus on. But we're going to be watching the whole game, so we're hopefully going to be seeing a lot of good stuff. Wins and losses don't matter in their preseason, but it sure as heck would be nice to see the Ticats get a win in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter. 0-2 or whatever, but it's still nice to watch your team win, even sure. If it's preseason.
Absolutely, always. We're going to be previewing some regular season football next week, dude. And we're going to talk some preseason, because obviously we're going to review this game, but regular season ball is here. We got to make our predictions. You ready?
I am ready. I am a little bit nervous, because usually you make a look like an ass with these predictions, but that's okay. That's half the fun of it. So it's always a fun episode to get the predictions out of the way.
It's time to put our money where our mouth is. We are quote-unquote experts, so let's expert it up. We're going to probably look like fools, but it's the one time of year that we got to do this, so let's just do it.
Yeah, there might be some surprising picks on my end.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm still looking around, trying to figure out what I want to do, but I'll be ready to go next week.
Excellent. Hopefully our picks are different, so there's some interesting things to talk about.
We will see. We will see. So that's it for this week's show. Remember that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and you can now also find us on Google Play Music and on Stitcher Radio, or you can listen to the show or download it at 3downnation.com. If you want to ask us a question, we're going to be getting into the questions again, I think, as the regular season starts heating up. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter. Mike, your Twitter handle, please.
Mike_Ticats.
And you can find me at joshsmith_82. And you can post those questions in the comment section on 3Down Nation. Or you can fire us off an email at our new email address, which is podski@gmail.com. You can hit us up there with some questions or comments or whatever, and we'll get them on the show. But that was episode 75 of Podski Wee Wee. I am Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.